Most gracious God, we just thank you so much for your love and your mercy. We thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to worship you, that no matter where we are, you are there in the midst of your people. So Lord, I just pray you would draw close to each and every one of us right now in a very special way, that Lord, you would hide me behind your cross, that you may be glorified and lifted up. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In Luke, the 17th chapter, verse 17, it says, "Then Jesus answered, 'Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? My subject is surprise. Surprise. Have you ever been surprised by someone's worship? I mean, come on, it's happened to all of us, you know. Different people worship different ways, and someone started worshiping in a way that you're not used to, and you're like, what in the world are they doing? You see, I don't believe that surprises God. And so sometimes we're surprised by that, but I don't believe that surprises God, because Revelation 7:9 paints the picture of worship in heaven, and it says that around the throne of God, there is every nation, tribe, people, and languages. And let me tell you, it doesn't take much traveling to see there's a whole lot of different ways of worshiping. You see, I don't believe God is so much surprised by the way that we worship, so much as he is surprised by our lack of worship. In this scene, what surprises Jesus is not that the Samaritan came back. It's that the other 9 did not. I want to ask a question to you today. Does your praise match your prize? Does your praise match your prize? As I was studying and praying that the Lord would give me the message to share with you today, God led me right to this story. I thought, what better sermon right now than a sermon about lepers and leprosy? I mean, with the whole social distancing and self-quarantine thing, I mean, have you noticed as you've been out in the public right now? I went to the grocery store the other day, and man, people keep their distance, don't they? I mean, I do it too. People keep their distance. They even put lines up to tell you where you need to stand and where you need to go. Man, it's gone beyond that to the point where some people don't even give you eye contact right now. Man, I sneezed at Food City, and I thought people were going to start throwing cans at me. I thought the woman in front of me was going to use her Lysol like pepper spray and start spraying it in my face. Now, times that by a million, and you have what it was like to be a leper. First century Judaism considered leprosy a divine judgment from God. The good news today is that first century Judaism about that were wrong. I saw a recent article in the Chattanooga Times. Cleveland's very own Perry Stone has been saying that he believes that COVID-19 is divine retribution against the LGBTQ community. But listen to me today, friends. COVID-19 is not a divine judgment and retribution from God. How do I know? Well, in John 9, when the disciples ask Jesus if a beggar's blindness was because of his sin or the sin of his parents, notice what Jesus says in John 9:3. Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." God is not the cause of chaos. God is not the cause of crisis. God is not the cause of COVID-19. Matthew 13:28 says, "An enemy has done this." An enemy has done this. And so it wasn't because of their sin that they had leprosy. Luke 17, 12 says that as Jesus entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. Lepers were not allowed to go into the village, and so they try and intercept Jesus before he goes in. The Bible says that they stand at a distance. And you know, really, that is the greatest tragedy of sin. That is one of the worst byproducts and results of sin, is that it has caused us to try to keep God at a distance. In Genesis 3, the moment Adam and Eve sinned, they go run hiding to keep God at a distance. In Exodus 20, 21, the people stood far off from where God was. In Mark 14, 54, it says that Peter followed Jesus at a distance. You see, this is what sin does. It tries to keep us at a distance from God. It turned the earth into a leper colony, and we started identifying more with our condition than our Creator. Today, I want you to start to identify more with your Creator than your sinful condition. If you were to get leprosy, people forgot who you were before you got the leprosy. It didn't really matter anymore. And when you think about it, we do the same thing with people. You know, it doesn't matter if you did a 5,000 things right. If you do one thing wrong, we're going to remember you for the one thing you did wrong and not all the things that you did right. And it'll come up at nominating committee time. Oh, Pastor, I think you need to know, I mean, where in the Bible does it say only people who haven't messed up can serve? Mercy, if that was the case, none of us could serve. Lepers had to wear bells in order to announce that they were coming into the vicinity, to announce to people that they were in the area. Kind of like those people in the church who thinks it's their job to announce all the sins of everybody in the church to the new people, right? Psst, hey, be careful. You can't trust that person. Hey, psst. Be careful. They try to run the church. Hey, psst, be careful. They're living together. Psst, hey, be careful. They had an affair. They have a child out of wedlock. Be careful. They gossip. Well, what do you think you're doing? Man, we seem to love ringing those bells. Unclean, unclean, unclean. But this is the thing. Your leprosy may look different than my leprosy. You may be able to hide your leprosy better than I can hide my leprosy. But we all have leprosy. I don't have time to worry about your leprosy. I got enough leprosy of my own. But hallelujah, the good news of the gospel is that our leprosy is no match for Jesus. You cannot keep God at a distance. And so these lepers cry out to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And to their greatest surprise, Jesus did have mercy on them. When the rest of the world wouldn't touch me with a 10-foot pole, Jesus did. He stepped into my leper colony and he set me free. Hallelujah, we serve a God of miracles. And so Jesus tells the 10 lepers in Luke 17, 14, he says, go show yourselves to the priest. Now notice this next part, it's super important. So he tells them to go show themselves to the priest, and then he said, and then the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. Say it with me, church, as they went. That's right. I want you to say it with me right there at home. As they went. Friends, there is no sin that Christ cannot cleanse. There is no sinner that Christ cannot save. There is no marriage that Jesus cannot mend. There is no hurt that Christ cannot heal. But you have to start living like he can do it. You see, the lepers were not healed until they went. You are not going to experience that miracle until you step out in faith. It took more than just hearing the word. They had to act on the word they had just heard. Church, it's going to take more than hearing sermons. It's going to take more than reading the Bible. It's going to take more than saying prayers. You got to act on the word you just heard. You've got to act on the prayer you just prayed. The Jordan River did not part until Israel stepped in. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not become fireproof until they were thrown in. David, until he stepped into the ring with Goliath, he was not a giant killer, but the moment he stepped in, God used him. The power was not in the stone in the sling. It was the power that was in the faith of David's heart. You got to be willing to step out if you want God to step in. The Bible says, as they went, I believe God's going to heal your spiritual rut that you're going through. But it's going to be as you go to worship him and praise him. I believe God's going to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, but it's going to be while you are opening your wallet and giving and returning what he has given to you. God's going to give you victory over the cigarettes, but it's only going to be while you start putting the cigarettes down. God's going to give you victory over the spending, but it's going to be while you cut those credit cards up. As they went, James 2:20 says, faith without works is useless. In verse 26, James says, faith without works is dead. As they went, they were cleansed. Their going is what ignited the healing. Their believing is what empowered God's word to come alive in their life. In 2 Chronicles 7, 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Friends, the operative word here is if. So start praying. As if you expect God to do something. Start giving like your home is really in heaven. Start living like you think Jesus is really coming. Man, it's going to take faith, friends. Faith is the bridge between where you are right now and where God wants to take you. It's going to take faith. God's going to step in, but you first got to step out. Luke 17:15, it says, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back praising God with a loud voice. Friends, this is what worship looks like. Now you'll notice he didn't worship in order to get the healing. He got the healing by grace, and then he worshiped God. Okay? He didn't worship to get the healing. He got the healing by grace and he worshiped. You see, I don't keep the Sabbath to earn salvation. I don't return the tithe to get God's blessing. I already got that as a gift. No, worship is my response. True worship is a response. It's not a requirement. And so I want to respond in obedience to God. Because he was faithful to the cross, I want to be faithful to him. Luke 17:16 says that this leper, who's so overwhelmed by God's gift of grace, he falls down, it says, on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And then almost as an afterthought, or maybe a little jab, Luke puts this in there. Now, he was a Samaritan. Luke puts this last statement in there for no other reason than to surprise us. He puts that in there for no other reason than to shock us. Because first century Jews because first century Jews thought that Samaritans were unclean, even if they were clean. So even if you didn't have leprosy and you were a Samaritan, to a Jew, you were still considered unclean. You know, Luke, more than any other gospel writer, loves to look at Jesus' attitude towards outsiders. That's what I love about the gospel of Luke. And I believe the reason why Luke seems to love looking at outsiders is because I believe, as do many people believe, that Luke was a Gentile. And so Luke was used to being an outsider. Luke was used to being less than. And so that's why I believe in Luke's Gospels, he's always zoning in on the outsider. I mean, that's why Luke is the only gospel writer that includes the story of the Good Samaritan. Because let's be honest, no Jew is going to put a story about a good Samaritan in their gospel. But you know what? Whether you think that Luke was a Gentile or not, it doesn't really matter. Because either way, there is no dispute. Luke wrote with the outsider, the Gentile, in mind. And so throughout his gospel, he makes the Samaritans and the Gentiles the heroes of the story. Because we know that what makes a person really a Jew is not the blood, is not their genetic makeup, but the blood of Christ that makes us a true Jew. So Samaritans were outsiders because, you see, they were only half Jewish. The Jewish community viewed Samaritans with contempt because they were only half Jewish. You see, they only had some of the truth. I've noticed that sometimes, church, that we can treat Christians of other denominations with contempt because we think they only have some of the truth. You got to remember, though, in those times when you're thinking those thoughts, you got to remember that it was a half-truth Samaritan that Jesus praised that day, not the Seventh-day Adventist who loved to boast in all the truth that he had. Luke 17:17-18. Notice the surprise in Jesus' voice. Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner? Friends, Jesus isn't surprised by the Samaritan's worship. Jesus is surprised because his own people did not come back to worship. He's not surprised because the Samaritan fell at his feet. He's surprised because his own people aren't at his feet. And what really is crazy about this, do you know what the name Judah in Hebrew means? It means praise. It means praise. Listen, we're Seventh-day Adventist Christians, not because it's in our name, but because the message of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is in our heart. That's what makes you a Seventh-day Adventist. That's what makes, you know, not it because it's in your name. Look, they had the name praise, but they didn't praise. I don't care what you call yourself or what's on the church sign. That doesn't make you an Adventist. What is in your heart is what makes you an Adventist. The way you love is what makes you an Adventist. Maybe the other 9 felt that as sons of Abraham, they deserve to be healed. You see, I've noticed something. Some of us believe because we have all 28 fundamental beliefs that we deserve salvation. But listen to me, friends. Knowing the doctrine of hell will not keep you from going there. Okay? Only Jesus Christ can do that. You see, not a single person on this planet deserves heaven. And yet, in the most beautiful of surprises, God did not give us what we deserved. Instead, he gave us his perfect son. So stop talking about what you deserve. Stop acting like you're better than anyone else. Stop bragging about who you are or what you know or what kind of truth you have. You should be glad that God is going to even let you into heaven. You know, I can imagine the disciples as they're watching this scene. They're surprised because Jesus is talking to a Samaritan. Jesus is surprised that his own people didn't come back. People were surprised when Jesus let the woman with the reputation wash his feet. Jesus was surprised when they didn't offer to wash his feet. Martha was surprised when Jesus let Mary sit at his feet. Jesus is surprised that Martha is surprised. Apparently, God and people are not surprised by the same things. Friends, God is not surprised when sinners sin. He's not surprised when messed up people mess up. Jesus is not surprised when broken people break things. He is surprised, however, when his church forgets to worship. He is surprised when the church that he loved so much and gave his life for does not love others as it should. He is surprised when the church does not take care of the widows like it should. He is surprised because the ones who know no better are better than those who should know better. That's what surprises Jesus. He's surprised that sometimes the world is better at taking care of other people than the church is. And it says in Luke 17:19, Jesus says, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." The Greek word for well, we've talked about this before. The Greek word for well means wholeness. It means more than just wellness from being sick. You see, the leper's goal was just healing from their leprosy. But Jesus' goal was wholeness, body, mind, and spirit. Hallelujah. God's goal for us is always so much bigger than our goal for God. God wants to give you wholeness today. You see, maybe you originally tithed to get a blessing, but in the process, you learned to trust God, and that has given you a wholeness you never thought was possible. Originally, maybe you came to Christ in order to save your marriage, but listen to me, a good marriage does not give you wholeness. That's not what's wrong with you. You is what's wrong with you. But if you would let him, Jesus would touch you and not only heal you, he will give you wholeness, and he will change your life. And as he changes your life, he will change your family's life and other people's life. I love this. The word that Jesus uses for this leper, he says, "Rise." It's a Greek word that means get up. The early Christians would have immediately recognized this word. Do you recognize it? John 11:23. Jesus said to her, talking about Lazarus, Jesus says to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." In Luke 24:7, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And the third day," check it out, "rise again." This word was always used with resurrection. You see, friends, resurrection is more than just physical healing. Resurrection is more than just what happens to the dead in Christ when Jesus returns. Resurrection is more than physical renewal. It's wholeness, it's renewal, body, mind, and spirit. You see, Jesus is telling some people right now, it's time to get up. He's ready to heal you. He's ready to make you whole. He's ready to change your life. He doesn't just want to fix one of your problems. He wants to fix you. He wants to resurrect you today. In verse 14, Jesus says to the lepers, he says, go show yourselves to the priests. And that's because based on Levitical law, lepers had to go to the priest in order to be cleared to re-enter the community. Okay? So it was the priest's job to say, okay, you're clean, you can go back. And that's why I believe the Samaritan walked a little ways, thought about it for a minute, and then turned right back around and walked up to Jesus. You see, he's going to the real priest. He's going to the real temple. Check it out. Hebrews 10:19. So friends, we can now without hesitation walk right up to God into the holy place. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as your priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is his body. This half-breed outcast Samaritan is the only one who recognizes Jesus for who he was, the real temple, the real priest. And because he goes and worships Christ, he experiences resurrection. Jesus says, rise. Hallelujah, friends. God wants to give each one of us resurrection. He wants to give us resurrection right now. And he wants to give those of us who die in him resurrection when Christ comes again. This story is one big surprise, because the people who should have worshiped Jesus don't. And then the one that you don't think would worship Jesus does. It's a surprise. You know what? Heaven is going to be one big surprise. One of my professors from Andrews said that there are three surprises in heaven. I've shared this with some of you before. Three surprises in heaven. First, we're going to be surprised that some people are not there that we expected to be there. You know, those good Bible-toting, Sabbath-keeping, vegetarian-eating, tithe-returning, Seventh-day Adventists, those people that we thought, you know what, they got it all together. But by now, friends, you should know that heaven is not for people who have it all together. Heaven is for people who have a Savior who has it all together. That's the first surprise. We're going to be surprised that there are some people not there that we expected to be there. The nine Jewish lepers who did not come to Jesus to worship. The second surprise of heaven is going to be, we're going to be surprised some people are there we never would have expected to be there. The one Samaritan. Yeah, in 2 Chronicles 33, check this out. The Bible says, look at this list. The Bible says Manasseh did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, erected altars to the Baals, burned his sons as an offering, used fortune-telling and omens and sorcery, dealt with mediums and with necromancers, carved images of the idols that he had made and set up into the house of God. Notice, Manasseh led Judah to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the people of Israel. Those who know better are doing worse than those who know no better. You know, according to Jewish history, it was Manasseh who killed Isaiah, sawing him in half. In fact, people believe that Hebrews, where it says some awaited a better resurrection, and it says being torn and sawn in half, was a reference to Isaiah being sawn in half at the order of Manasseh. 2 Kings 21:16 says, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood. But then as you follow this story, Manasseh gets captured. He gets captured by the enemy and he prays. Now, I'm not surprised by the fact that Manasseh prays. Because I don't know how many times when I was out there running and gunning in active addiction that I didn't pray when I got in trouble, when I got captured by the police. There wasn't a time where I didn't pray. In recovery, we always say there are no atheists in a foxhole. When you're in trouble, man, you find religion quick. And so I'm not surprised by him praying because I did that all the time. I'm not surprised by Manasseh's desperate attempt through prayer. I am surprised, however, by God's response. Check this out. 2 Chronicles 33, 13 and 16. It says that God was moved by his entreaty and heard his plea and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. He also restored the altar of the Lord, offered on it sacrifices of peace offerings and thanksgiving, and he commanded Judah to serve the Lord, the God of Israel. Surprised? Not near as surprised as Isaiah is going to be when he sees Manasseh walk through the pearly gates. What about Uriah? Man, the last thing Uriah knew was he was being moved to the front line of the battle. And he knew that that order could only come from one person. And he knew that an order from his king to go to the front line meant only one thing. And that was that his king wanted him dead. As the story goes, David had slept with Uriah's wife, and then when Uriah won't let David off the hook, David has Uriah murdered. And yet centuries later, the Holy Spirit inspires Luke in Acts 13, 22, "I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all of my will." Surprised? Not nearly as surprised as Uriah when he sees David roll up into heaven. In Acts 7:58, it says they cast Stephen out. They cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. So check this out. One of the last things that Stephen sees was Saul consenting to his death. And because we know that the dead know nothing, that means the next thing that Stephen is going to see is Paul in glory. Can you imagine the surprise? Hallelujah. Heaven is going to be full of surprises. We're going to be surprised. Some people are not there that we would expect to be there. We're going to be surprised. Some people are there that we never would have expected to be there. But the third surprise of heaven is we're all going to be surprised because we're there, because we know how unclean we really are. Man, we've got so much leprosy. It's coming out of our ears. And yet Jesus, in Romans 5:8, it says, God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus stepped into your leper colony. He was killed for your leprosy. Jesus became an outsider so that you could become an insider. Jesus was thrown out of Jerusalem and killed on a cross so that you can be brought into the new Jerusalem and given a crown. You see, the greatest surprise of heaven will not be that sinners are there. David's going to be there. Manasseh's going to be there. A coward named Peter's going to be there. Romans 3, 23 and 24 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Friends, the surprise of heaven is not all those people are there. It's that so many people who could have been there are not. Listen to me right now, right where you are. Listen to what I say to you. Nothing is worth more than heaven. Nothing is more important than your relationship with God. Let me tell you right now, I want to be there. I believe Jesus is coming soon, and I want to be there in heaven. I want to be there, not by my bootstraps, but on Christ's coattails. I want to be there when no sin, where sin no longer separates, and when death no longer devastates, and when COVID-19 no longer isolates. I want to see the reunion with David and Uriah, and the reunion with Manasseh and Isaiah. I want to look at the look on Stephen's face when Paul says, surprise. I want to be there. But more than anything, I want to do what this leper did. Luke 17:16, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Does your praise match your prize? And let me tell you, friends, the moment Jesus hands me the crown, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to lay it at his feet, and I'm going to fall there, and I'm going to worship him for the first 1,000 years in heaven. What about you? Are you ready? Let us pray. Most gracious God, I ask that you would pour out your Spirit on each person listening right here, right now. I ask in the mighty name of Jesus that we would all do what this one leper did. We will not take your presence for granted. We will not take your healings and salvation for granted. Lord, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus that our praise will start to match our prize. That our giving will start to match what we have been given. That our faithfulness will start to match his faithfulness. Lord, I pray that you will continue that good work in all of our lives so that we can be there. Shock us with your grace. Shock us with your glory when you part the eastern sky and come in the clouds of glory. We long for that day. I want to be there, Lord. I want to be there. I am making a decision today because you are Savior and Lord of my life that very soon the surprise of heaven will be Richie made it. Hallelujah, Lord. I long for that day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.